Rabbi Uri Pilichowski has a brand new book entitled Zionism Today. This is a book that I read most of in Jerusalem this past Shabbat. How do you like that? Zionism Today, Challenges for the Jewish Nation in the 21st Century. Full disclosure, as many people know, Rabbi Uri Pilichowski's daughter is married to my son, Yehoshua. A pleasure to welcome you back to JM in the AM.
Thank you for having me.
And the book, by the way, mentions Yehoshua Siegel.
It does, of course, for sure.
Which is really nice. Congratulations on the book. I found it fascinating. It's one of those books where you've taken a whole bunch of great articles that you've written over the years and put it into one Zionism compendium, so to speak. Why put it together like this? Why release it as a book?
I think it's important ideas over the last couple of years that come to the core of what Zionism is all about and skips over the current events and the current, definitely doesn't mention the war because it was written right before the war, and doesn't get caught up in the small details of everyday life, but rather looks at a very large picture and bigger issues.
Are you surprised that how many young people, and I say it to you like that because you spend most of your day educating young people, both here and in the United States, are you surprised about how many young people and how many older adults do not have much of a clue about the history of Zionism?
It's not just the history. I think it's even more the principles of Zionism, and I don't blame anybody because we don't study it anymore. We're just so caught up with the social media and how many people hate us and the bad news and how do we defend ourselves, and we're so worried about that. We're not actually thinking about who we are and why we love this land. You know, the big picture issues that Theodor Herzl was actually grappling with, those to Haram and those type of big pictures, you know, big picture issues, those are the things that we should really be spending some time on.
Well, when someone does go into that area of education, or if someone does pick up this book and starts reading about it, do you suspect it's going to give them a greater appreciation of this land and of this mission that
I
you just described?
I definitely hope so. That's
and when
sure
they come here, no, but all seriousness, because you're educating high school kids.
Yes.
When they come here, if they wouldn't have had the experience with you, their experience in Israel would likely be different, right?
I'd hope so. I hope I'm having that type of an impression on them. Yeah, so for sure. But that's the goal. The goal is really, you know, everything that we love, that we truly, truly love, we have trouble putting into words why we love it, right? To ask somebody to explain why you love your parents, right?
It's a feeling, an emotion.
It's a feeling, it's an emotion. So what I'm trying to do in this book is give people an understanding through words what the love we have for this land is all about, what the Jewish connection, the Jewish rights to this land are, the foundations of what Zionism is all about and what our connection to this land is all about.
And, I mean, I got this perspective from the book. We don't understand the similarities between us and the way we think and the way they were thinking 150 years ago
for sure
about the same issues.
Right, for sure.
And by the way, religious leaders in addition to the secular Zionists.
100%, 100%, right, for sure. The open tent of Zionism, right, is something that people don't realize. Everybody thinks it's just for them, just for my clique, right? But it's really not true. If I'd ask you, is Zionism a religious or a secular movement, right? It takes you a second to realize, like, well, I don't know. Like, it could be both. It could be neither. A capitalist or socialist, right? So there's all these different types of Zionism, and the biggest thing is that there's no definition of Zionism, right? It's a whole movement that was successful in creating a state, and there's no actual definition. Theodor Herzl never got up and said, this is what it is. Or, you know, at a conference, they said, this is what we're all going to be about. And it just, like, sort of came about, and we created this massive state that's a thriving success by any measure.
And it's funny because then when Herzl started making proposals about what the next steps are, people were probably stunned. Like, why would that be a good natural step?
Exactly.
For
and it was very controversial, right? Yeah. Herzl got up and said, let's go to Uganda.
Right.
And people were like, no, what do you mean? The Russian Jews sat down and sat, you know, they tore Kriya and they sat Shiva and said, no, it's Eretz Yisrael or bust. And that became, you know, thankfully, that became the direction.
When you think about the fact, I mean, I've made this point so many times, about the fact that we actually have a state when all these factions and opinions, and you've just added to it for me, because it's not just we come from different areas religiously, halachically, from secular points of view, but then toss into that no one's exactly sure what the next step in each one of these scenarios should be.
And
then
sure.
It's a miracle we have a state.
Right. We don't know what's going to be in 2 weeks.
Right.
We're fighting a war right now, right? And you always hear the Biden administration, you know, saying to the Israelis, well, what do you think about the day after, right? What's going to happen the day after? What's going to happen next week? We don't know what's going to be next week. Forget about the day after.
Rabbi Uri Pilichowski is here. The book is called Zionism Today. By the way, is this being mass produced, available everywhere. What are we doing with
it? It is. It's on Amazon. You can definitely get it on Amazon. But also if you want a good deal, you can get in touch with me personally.
Ooh, I like that. Great bar mitzvah gift.
Very good. A gift for anybody.
And wonderful to give out to your high school students, no matter where you are in this world.
High school students and also non-Jewish friends.
Right.
Yeah, now you have all these non-Jewish friends and you want to give them something that that teaches them what Israel's all about. This is it.
You have over 100 chapters in this book.
I do.
So I can't go through all of them now, but let's discuss chapter 43. Okay. Miracles are the norm in Israel. Are you feeling that during this war as well?
For sure. That's a great quote by Ben-Gurion that he said that you're not a realist if you don't believe in miracles here. You know, that's it's impossible to look at the last 75, the last 100 years and look at this place and say that the miraculous isn't happening on a daily occasion. You know, it doesn't matter. Okay, let's say you're an atheist, right? Mm-hmm. I have plenty of Zionist atheist friends. And even they have to look at this and say, okay, this is not normal, right? This is not the average way of the world and how it should work.
I mentioned earlier on the air in the early part of the show that I was in Be'eri area on Sunday and there was a gentleman who lost his brother in the attack who was giving us a tour of the area. He had never been inside the synagogue, the one synagogue in Be'eri.
Yeah.
This attack happened when he got back into town. The first thing he did was walk into the synagogue and bench Gomel by himself.
Wow.
And I'm sort of like, wow. I mean, I know the whole atheist in a foxhole thing. Right. I get it. But there is something about our tradition, our heritage that just pulls
and this
it
land. On. And this land, it touches you in ways. Everybody knows it. Try explaining to somebody that feeling you had the first time you went to the Kotel, to the Western Wall. Try putting that into words.
You have a chapter here entitled Unity Must Take Priority, and it was written way before.
Yeah.
The unity has become such a central theme of this war.
Yeah.
Let's try to forget about the war for a moment. Why? What were you writing about in the unity?
So think about what happened the year before. It feels like it's decades ago, but the year before the war, we were a divided nation, whether it was through judicial reform or people's fear of religious coercion in this country, right? We had a strong divide. 10 days before was Yom Kippur, before the attack was Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur, we had arrests in Tel Aviv during the Ila over Mechitza. Right.
And a terrible scene.
Horrible scene. Israel. I mean, imagine telling to somebody we're going to have a Jewish state with Israeli police officers arresting rabbis for putting up a mechitza in a service that other people want to attend without a mechitza. I mean, it's crazy. And that's how divided we were. And unfortunately, the divisions always hurt us. Yeah, that's so unity was something on my mind and on many people's minds in the months leading up to the war. Now, unfortunately, right, so yeah, now it's Yachad and Atzeach. You see signs for unity all over the country. It's my belief that we're going to be united as a people. And God gives us a choice. We could do it on our own, or he'll set up the situation where we have to be united. And we weren't united, and unfortunately, now we are.
Yeah, we learned our lesson, didn't we?
Yeah.
The book is called Zionism Today, Challenges for the Jewish Nation in the 21st Century, Rabbi Uri Pilichowski, Amazon, variety of places, Judaica stores in the
U.S. Get in touch with me.
In touch with Uri. Yeah. He'll make sure you're well taken care of. By the way, fun fact regarding the Siegel and Pilichowski family.
Okay.
We're in the hotel and going through the itinerary of one of the prominent groups, the One Israel Fund.
Okay.
And today, Aliza Pilichowski is addressing the group.
Yeah, people don't realize that. Yeah, so now I'm an author. I'm doing some interviews, and people think that that I'm the person to interview. My wife's the one to interview. She's the star of our family. So yeah, much more impressive than me.
Today she's got quite an assignment.
Yes, she has many. She has 5 or 6 things on her schedule today, and they are all more impressive than anything I've got. No offense to the Nachum Siegel Network.
Yeah. But the group has a tougher assignment because I said to them they all have to send regards to the Machatenim.
Ah, there you go. There you go.
Would you sign this for me?
Yeah, I think I did already. Look,
did you?
Turn the page.
How did I miss it?
Unless, maybe you have a different book?
Yeah.
I thought I signed it. Okay, yeah, for sure I will.
Please, are you kidding? This will add, I have a policy. I don't know if you know this policy. And you would not appreciate this policy.
Okay.
Because Uri Pilichowski saves all his books.
I do. I try not to give away books.
In the Nachum Siegel household, books that have no inscription are...
I give him
50-50 shot that they're sticking around.
Yeah.
With an inscription, it must stay forever.
Right.
That's the rule.
I'll make sure to sign it.
So I got very lucky this trip because Rabbi Chanoch Teller, he signed his book about Rabbi Kellermer.
Oh, very nice. Okay.
So I have to take that one home.
Right.
Yeah, I'll have to take yours home now.
Correct, right.
And Jonathan Pollard, very interesting. He brought along a gift. You know the book, Yehuda Avner, The Ambassador?
Of course.
He brought that book to me as a gift, and I had him sign it. Maybe that book specifically, I don't know. Maybe it was a reference to him.
Maybe he didn't get a chance to read it while I was in jail, and now he just got it now.
That could be. Who knows? So thank you for that, and good luck with the book.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
We should see each other again this week.
Amen.
Hopefully we will. Yeah. Rabbi Uri Pulichowski, everybody. He has the distinction of being Tamima Siegel's father. How do you like that? And that is a badge he wears with great pride, to say the least. More coming up next at JM in the AM.